Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintus.
This is the Donalana Kitchen. We get together once a week here around our kitchen table. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, opinions. And this is community radio. We get vibes, a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. Support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames, community-owned, community-focused, since 1974, open daily 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
And we do. What a beautiful week to be at the Iowa State Fair, and I hope you've all enjoyed the state fair or lots of other things. So, Donna, how was your weekend?
Well, I didn't go to the state fair. I wasn't brave enough this year. Although I hear they had some stunning art exhibits in the Equine building that are new.
Oh, good.
But I still didn't brave the crowds. So we are having all right. Tomato report, how many varieties and how's it going?
Well, as usual, tomatoes doing well. I planted 30 different kinds, and some of them bit the dust, but others are doing fine. We have had a great tomato harvest this year.
I had one of yours last night on a BLT. Yes, yes. And it was the yellow ones with the red streaks in them. They're so beautiful.
There's a lot
beautiful
of different tomatoes.
Do you know
like
the variety?
That I grow one called Old German, but there's different ones that have the red starburst in the middle of a yellow big slicer. Oh, August in Iowa. That's very good.
Yes.
Also, yeah. Also this weekend, KHOI has celebrated its fourth birthday. There was barbecue. There was basketball. There was blueberry pie. There were bands and a book sale. Books, books, books. Hope we all came in for a little bit of the festivities. And guess what? The book sale is still going on. So visit KHOI Studio 410 Douglas. Come on down and browse. Say hi to all us nice folks.
Isn't it nice to know that people still read books? And it's not all electronic?
It's true. And from all the donations that we got, from all of the donations that we got from all of these nice people, I think the people that listen to KHOI have very, very good taste in books. I was just kind of looking over. That's a whole pile.
Oh, yes. We have a discerning audience.
There was a whole pile of cookbooks. You can come down and still get a copy of Diet for a Small Planet by Frances Moore LePage.
Oh, a classic.
Another one called...
And it's the spiral-bound edition.
Oh. Mm. 365 Ways to Cook Chicken. A book called Skim the Fat. A book called Tussie Mussies. Tussie Mussies are Victorian bouquets and all of the little flowers.
Sorry, folks. I might have to buy that one.
And here's another classic. The Electric Knife Way to Better Carving for Him and Her for Every Day, Every Menu, and Every Cook. We have got books down there.
It looks like a good old 1960s variety of cookbook.
So anything to make you happy, we've got books down here, and that's just some of the food books. Speaking of one more book thing, both Donna and I read a book or have checked out a book from the Ames Public Library called New Prairie Kitchen by Summer Miller, and that is actually part of the Ames Public Library book club section. You can check that out and keep that for a long time.
And
try some recipes.
That means they have multiple copies, so you and all of your friends can read it at once and discuss it.
And cook it and cook things and enjoy things. It's all about Midwestern farmers and food. And we'd like to hear from you. If you have any comments on this book or just like it or don't or have tried a recipe, contact us, the Donalana Kitchen at khoiradio@gmail.com.
Lana, did you volunteer us at the library for, if somebody's reading that as a group, we would be happy to attend and have a discussion once?
We'd love to. So? We want to hear from you. And if enough people want to talk to us and talk on the radio, we'll do that. So contact us, Donalana Kitchen, khoiradio@gmail.com. Speaking of food, we have a guest in the studio today. She knows a lot about food. I see her at Farmer's Market all the time. She's been a fine person on Main Street, fine person to get to know. Andrea Gonneau is with us today. She's the promotions chair for the Main Street Cultural District, and she's got an event to talk about. It has something to do with food. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, this Friday, August 19th,
Coming right up.
Yes, right out here in front of KHOI Radio on the 400 block of Douglas Avenue, we're going to have Foodies and Brew.
Foodies. And Brew.
Yes.
And Don and Lana will both be there.
Yes. We have special
we'll be
tickets.
Milling about in the crowd and running around and tasting and exclaiming and enjoying it.
And scaring the locals, I suppose. Oh, dear.
We are the locals.
Oh,
come
all right.
on.
All right. Well, tell us about this event. Foodies and Brew. There's been a resurgence of people enjoying food and a resurgence and a wonderful blossoming of brews. So tell us.
Absolutely. Well, this is the third year of Foodies and Brew. We are so excited to continue the tradition. It is a fundraiser for the Main Street Cultural District.
And yay!
Yes. So the Main Street Cultural District serves to make downtown a center point for the community. And we want everyone to know what a lovely downtown we have, what great businesses we have, what great cultural activities happen in the downtown.
And this is just, it's a cultural thing, right? So you're not like part of the Chamber of Commerce or the Better Business Bureau or...
We house in the Chamber office, we are really all about downtown and the businesses and the residents of the whole community, but we really focus on what happens in our downtown.
And beautification.
Yes,
and
you see the lovely planters and flowers we have
here. Especially this time of year. They are very stunning.
Our design committee, headed up by Judy Gilger, does a fantastic job, and I will put a shout out to the city because they help us water. We could not have such beautiful planters without the city coming down and watering them, because if it was up to us, we couldn't do it.
And I think it's like a volunteer crew that does all the planting.
It is absolutely a volunteer crew that does the planting, the weeding, the varnishing of the beautiful benches we have in downtown. Judy heads up a group of volunteers that go out, and those have to be varnished twice a season. So we do a lot of volunteering in downtown.
Thinking back to, 10, 20 years ago, like many towns in the Midwest, things were kind of looking,
run down.
A little.
Yes.
It was, let's say, sad. And it takes effort. It takes people caring. And this wonderful organization has, besides Foodies and Brew, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on that never used to go on downtown. So
right, right.
Come.
You have a whole list of events calendars.
Yes.
Like what are the other events you guys do?
Well, we also have Oktoberfest coming up. We have, and that's in October this year. We have Music Walk, September 29th. It's a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. That's always a fun one, and we're really just getting started in the heavy-duty planning of that. So make sure you mark your calendars for...
And do you do the Christmas things, too?
We do, but I want to mention, because we're on a Foodies show.
Foodies.
That during Music Walk, we are going to really focus on fall foods. So a lot of our stores will have special fall foods in there, too. So look out for that.
What are we talking? Squash soup?
Who knows? It remains to be seen.
Pumpkin pie.
You never know.
Okay.
You never
know.
I'm going to have some fall harvest soups from one of the projects that we have in Worldly Goods. So you'll have to stop in and try those.
Well, I think it's an organization that we all sort of take for granted, and we have a lot of benefits from it. So I think it's wonderful to be able to support Foodies and Brew, because obviously you, even though it's a lot of volunteers, you need some funds to do these
things.
We
absolutely need funds to keep the downtown going, to keep the plants. I mean, we volunteer to take care of the plants, but we have to get those plants. We have so many different things that we offer our businesses downtown that people don't even realize. And, yes, we do need funds. And we do need a staff to keep us going. So
all of these events and planning them. And
yes. So can't do it alone. Trust me, as a volunteer right now, we can't do it without Cindy and Dana.
Thank you for all of the work that you're doing that, we just kind of take for granted all the, you know, our downtown area is quite lively.
It really, really is. I mean, there's always something happening in downtown.
And it's quite attractive.
It is gorgeous. And we hear it all the time in the stores, what a great downtown we have. When people come in from out of town and they don't realize, I mean, they think of Iowa State University in Ames, but they don't realize how wonderful of a downtown we have and what great places we have to visit.
Yes.
Very good. So what will one find if you show up at the Foodies and Brew event?
What time do you show up?
6:30 is
6:30.
The time to
okay.
show up.
Friday at 6:30 at Douglas and Main, right?
Yes, right there, and we will check you in. And I want to mention that this is a 21 and over event, so please.
Oh, for the brew bit.
Yes. So I appreciate, you know, bringing children, but this event is really.
Right. Well, we do lots of other things for children.
We have the
4th of July parade.
Yes, and even some of the other events that do have alcohol as well. We have children's sections, but this one is a 21 and over event. So I just want to make sure everybody understand.
Okay, all you adults,
come on down.
It'll be a good evening. And what will we find? Who's coming? Who's cooking?
Well, we have 10 different restaurants, and we have 4 beer breweries and 1 tea brewery, and one of the restaurants is having a coffee brew as well. So we are really, you know, playing up that brew thing.
Good.
Boy, that's a lot of our local restaurants.
It is. I will run through the list here.
Please do.
And some of them I know what they're bringing and some of them I don't. So we'll kind of.
So highlight things as you go along.
All right. Well, we have our own local Main Street Cultural District, Alley Cakes, and we are so excited to have her as a dessert this year. And I have heard wonderful things about her pettifors, and I am looking forward to trying them.
I've had pettifors. I've had some.
Yes.
I haven't had a pettifor in years.
This is your chance.
Oh, boy.
3 cheers for Alley Cakes.
Yes, and Battle Cry Iowa Smokehouse and Bar will be down here. I do not know yet what they are bringing. It is
something yummy. I listened to your show
when you talked to them, and that made me excited. So, and Bergie's Coffee and Tea, we are excited
Excellent.
To have them as Worldly Goods representative.
Are they bringing their adorable little truck?
No, we don't have room for those wonderful trucks.
Okay.
They can bring them down and park it, but inside it'll be the fence.
They do have a very
cool vintage truck. Is it all under a big tent?
Well, some of it will be under a tent.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's so big.
It is a big place to put up a tent.
Okay. Well, keep on going with the list. I'm getting hungry.
All right. Well, Bergie's is bringing their Nitro Coffee, which is a fair trade coffee. So I was very excited to hear that. And they're also doing some of their home baked cookies. And I don't know which one it is yet, but we will find out. And our 2-time winner, Chef Kevin Terrell, and those guys will be coming back for
Those guys is the name of their group.
That is absolutely the name of their group.
I'm really looking forward to trying his food.
Well, I know that he is having Korean pork belly with a steamed bun. And local kimchi from agriculture will be showcased.
Oh, wonderful. So. I've had that. It's delicious. Do come. I would show up just for that.
Yes. And you'll get your healthy dose of probiotics as well.
Yeah, and then you can go eat your cookies. So.
Yes. Well, Devlin Bay is participating, and they are going to have a local lamb meatball with local mint sauce as well. So they are very excited to showcase the local side. Mucky Duck Pub is going to be there.
Oh, they're always fun, no matter what they do. Something British, I suppose.
Yes. Coronation Chicken with Cracker.
Coronation. Oh, boy. We'll see.
So, yes. And I did not add the A because that in the British, they don't always use those articles. So instead of with a cracker, it is with cracker. So
are we good or what?
Yes. And we did ask if they were going to bring a picture of the Queen. That remains to be seen yet, but we'll see what they do. Old Main Brewing is participating, and Chef Jamie this year has pan-seared pheasant and duck with a strawberry glaze.
Wowzers.
Edamame peppers, caramelized root vegetables, and soft polenta. So quite a gathering there from them. And we have Salt and Pretzel. They are going to do a vegetarian meatball pretzel sub. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the specifics there, but I'm sure it will be tasty.
Right, that's that new business out in Somerset.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they do their own sausages up there as well. Wallabies, I don't know what they're bringing. They are surprising me and waiting till the last minute to get it on the menu, but they will be coming. And Whiskey River just got in. They are having mini pulled pork sandwiches. So
yum.
We are very, very excited. And then we have Alluvial Brewing participating, Boone Valley Brewing participating, Old Main is participating, and Torrent is participating.
Well, bravo. That's all of our very local breweries.
Absolutely. And each one of them are bringing three different brews each. And I have had the opportunity to sample all of them, and it is fantastic. Mm-hmm, so there are so many different flavors and types of beers out there you can't even imagine.
That's one of the bright spots. Despite how politics and things in the news can really make you rather bummed out this time, just lately. And we've got global warming. We've got
floods
and climate
change.
Anyway, but we have
foodies and brew.
We have foodies and brew, and people making food because they love to make food, and people brewing good beer because they love to brew good beer. You mentioned that there were winners. How does one ever choose a winner? People get prizes for coming, right?
Yes. Well, you come down here and you get to taste all of this wonderful food, sample all this wonderful drink, and then pick your favorite.
Oh, so it's a popular.
It is popular.
By popular acclaim. Yes. Oh, good. I love those kinds of things.
Yes. So make sure that you don't forget to vote when you come in.
Oh, we will. You know, Lana and I always have opinions, so we're happy to vote.
Very good. Encourage people to vote when you're walking through.
Of course.
We have great voting boxes, so there'll be voting boxes spread out. We've got them ready and working on the voting slips. I will say that when you come in, you will get a little red bag that will have your sampling cup.
Oh.
You get a sampling cup
with
your admission.
It.
And then some of our downtown businesses have provided coupons and promotions, and those will be tucked away in your bag as well. So everyone will get a bag.
Swag bag.
Yes, exactly. And I have a volunteer helping me right now stuffing those swag bags. So
very good.
Shout out to Cheyenne for helping me.
Okay.
This sounds like a fun, fun evening.
Now, we don't want to forget to go back to our tea brewery.
Oh.
Yes, our very own Little Woods Herbs and Teas down here. They're going to have some teas that they're going to be sampling as well. So I'm excited to have them. They have three of them. Namaste. Mm-hmm. Bright Eyes, and Eternal Youth.
And these are her own blends that she's creating.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I have on the sheet here I won't go into all the details unless you would like me to, but she tells us what she wants to pair with this. So you will be able to go through and sample what you want to pair with her.
We've had a show with her, too.
Yes.
Love, a great show. We really appreciate what she does. So now all of you can just come and taste it.
Absolutely. So
that's a new business on Main Street.
It is a new business on Main Street, and we're very, very lucky to have her.
Yes. Who won the event last year?
First 2 years.
Oh.
Chef Kevin Terrell and those guys.
Oh,
okay.
My.
So get down there and taste things.
And I know there's a hotly contested competition here. I know they all support each other. They're wonderfully supportive of each other. But there is. Everybody wants to see if they can be coming.
Well, because it's wonderful. Food is such a social sort of thing. And granted, being a farmer, I have delivered vegetables to the back door of a few restaurants over my years. And I'm always amazed that when you step into a restaurant going at full bore, it's very much like backstage at a theater production. It's all about timing. It's all about getting along and making sure everything is out the door the same. There's this excitement, and people work hard doing that.
They really do. It is a passionate thing, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's fun, too. Very good.
Well, and I will say this year, we have not had a brew award in the past, and this is the first year so that you can pick your favorite brew.
Great idea.
So, yes. So we have a trophy to award to the breweries as well.
Good. Well, I hope there are manageable size portions of anything, because I'm going to give my best to taste everything.
You've got some of everything.
Yeah. You talk about
this. It is a sampling plate.
A sampling plate. Okay,
yes.
Good. Good. So I will work up an appetite. Yes. Yes. Very good. Is there going to be people milling and talking? Is there going to be entertainment or music?
Well, in the morning, in the early part of the events, from 6:30 to 8:30, we will have soft background music.
Lovely.
But at 8:30, we are going to have Standing Hampton play live. And
what, who is Standing Hampton?
Standing Hampton is this amazing band that I won't, let's just say it's great collection of rock music and different covers that they play.
Oh, okay.
Music to digest.
Food and music, then. Okay.
That's Foodies and Brew. You are listening to KHOI 89.1 Story City Ames. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Nachtigal, and we are here in the Donna Lana Kitchen talking about an event, a food.
A Friday event.
Coming up this Friday. It's called Foodies and Brew. And Andrew Gernow, the promotions chair for the Main Street Cultural District, has been here telling us all about it.
Yes, and we're very cultured on Main Street. We are so fortunate to have this organization.
We absolutely are, and all of the great volunteers and staff that help make these events happen. We're excited to have them and appreciate all the hard work.
This is a great great way to taste and sample some of the fine food and some of the fine brews that are made right here. Support local businesses, support local food, and
support local beer.
Yes, thank you, Donna. I needed somebody to say that. So, Andrea, can you tell us a little bit about how one can get more information?
Well, absolutely. You can go to amesdowntown.org and look it up, because there is a tab for events and Foodies and Brew right there. You can swing into 304 Main Street and visit there at the office. Or if you really have some serious questions, you can stop in at Worldly Goods and give me a call or just ask. I'm there for you.
And right, and but you can just show up at 6:30 and get your...
If everybody in town shows up, we will run out of tickets because we have a limited number of tickets. But, yes.
Well, that would be a great problem to
yes,
have.
It would be an absolute great problem to have. So we are encouraging advanced ticket sales so that you get your spot. Mm-hmm. But if for some reason we sell out, you may come down and be disappointed. So early is important because there is a potential of that.
And this isn't an annual event. So should you sell out this year? There's always next year.
There right? is absolutely next year. Maybe we'll find a bigger location. Now, I will say that if you come down at 8:30 when Standing Hampton begins, you have
That's
another...
That's the music.
Yes. You have another chance to enter in to the event. So don't think that if you can't make it at the 6:30 portion that you can't come down at 8:30.
You just won't eat.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That is exactly
okay,
what
and so
happen.
It's right at Douglas and Main.
Yes. Okay. That will be the entryway. You will not be able to miss us when you come down.
Nope. Okay.
Good. All right. That is the Foodies and Brew this Friday.
Yum.
So, Andrea, do you like okra?
I actually love okra.
Well, that's just good because...
And I see some on the table, which
Lana,
is very beautiful.
Lana is an okra grower.
We're going to talk about okra. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say, oh, it's too slimy. Oh, it's too woody.
Oh,
I would never
either love it or you don't.
Yes. So, yes, you either love it or you don't. But people are starting to get a little curious about this sort of thing. You see more and more of it out. And People at the farmer's market kind of look at it. What is that, they say? I say, that's okra. They say, oh, and then they walk away.
Lana is on the okra education committee.
Well, she's doing a fine job of it.
Absolutely.
Or people say, oh, okra, and they dive right in because either they're from parts south in this country and have learned already how to eat the fine stuff, or they may be from Southeast Asia or India or
Africa,
or let's see, Egypt. Different people cook it many different ways. Okra is really, really good, and I want to take a little time here to mention that if you're worried that okra is slimy, that's part of its charms. What other vegetable makes its own gravy? I mean, I dare to.
And that sliminess that has a mucilaginogenic?
Good job.
I could have made that word up. Anyway, it's good for the intestines.
It is. Okra is
and
very
the,
good.
You know,
good
the
for
mucus
you.
Linings of your digestive tract. There we go.
Yes, it is. But if you don't like that, we prefer to not eat it. So the trick is to stir fry it.
And cook it not. The longer you cook it and let it get soggy, the more.
Mucilaginous, whatever that,
yes,
that word, yeah.
The gooey stuff starts coming out.
Also, buy okra that is thumb size or
smaller.
And don't cut it up when you stir fry it. Leave it in its little pod and it doesn't get overly slimy.
Well, you have to cut the.
Yeah.
Stem end off.
You can cut the stem end off, or you can leave the stem end on and use it
as a finger holder.
As a finger holder.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I looked up okra. I looked up just, and I remember reading this someplace before, and I found out it's true. Okra is related to other species, such as cotton, cocoa, and hibiscus.
Oh, my.
And you think of cotton. Cotton makes these bolls, this fibrous stuff comes out. And, yes, that's what the okra pod is, also a little fibrous sort of thing. And hibiscus.
Right. And if the okra is left on the plant, it becomes, which is why you don't want to buy large okra, it becomes woody.
Yeah, but that's its job, because that's making the seeds for next year.
So flower is lovely as it's growing.
I mentioned hibiscus. It looks like a hibiscus.
Yes.
It's a cream-colored flower. It has a purple inside. It is just a lovely thing, which means that harvesting okras can be a real pleasure. Now, I have a note about what happens when okra gets way too big. Like I mentioned, I like to eat okra when it's about thumb-sized. Or a little bigger, and you chop it up. That's fine, too.
Yeah, 2 inches.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful stuff. Nothing else quite tastes like it. When it gets big.
You dry it and make a craft project out of it.
Exactly.
Yes, you do.
Reuse, repurpose.
Yay. Spray paint for Christmas trees.
Absolutely.
And the big ones are like the one in Lana's hand now, I would say, is 6 to 7 inches long.
Yes.
You don't want to eat it.
No, but it's going to make a nice Christmas decoration. I can just see it now.
See it painted like a Santa Claus right there. I see it.
There's this little red top. You put some eyes up there. You glue a red bean to make the nose. And you put on a little bit of cotton for the mustache.
Yep.
And you make yourself a little Santa Claus there, because the okra pod itself turns into its beard. Oh, yes. That's a good use for that sort of thing. Oh, I want to mention that okra is really eaten all over the world. They don't quite know where the plant started, except perhaps in Eastern Africa. And people eat it differently around the world. And I think you'd be happy to know that in Malawi, in Africa, they like the slimy bit. They encourage it cooking it with sodium bicarbonate, so it gets even slimier. So you think you've got it bad here?
Well,
folks.
A lot of Cajun foods put okra
for the gumbo.
And when it's in a stew, of course, it will cook down more and it will thicken the stew, as it were. But Lana, didn't you have if you just kind of lightly stir fry or lightly saute okra. Mm-hmm. It cooks very quickly.
Very quickly.
It's very easy, mm-hmm. and it doesn't break down and get slimy. And
right.
you had a recipe with,
oh, I had a recipe.
With bacon.
A real quick way to do this is just olive oil, garlic, and bite-sized or thumb-sized okra pods. Stir that until it gets to the crunchy-wunchy stage, which is a technical term, the crunchy-wunchy stage. But if you
it's like a little like green beans. You don't want to overcook
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And here's something for people that don't like okra. I took this to a potluck recently, and
the usual. If you don't like it, add bacon, and everyone will.
Everyone
eat it.
Will love
Here
it.
Here we go. Here we go. I started with 2 slices of bacon, fried the bacon, drained it on a towel, saved to crumble up later, saved a little bit of the grease, and in olive oil and the grease leftovers. Now, I did this in kind of 2 stages because the idea is to keep the texture nice. So I kept the
By
okra.
By not overcooking.
Yeah, kept the okra later. But first, I sautéed a large leek, 4 cloves garlic, small onion, 2 tomatillas. What a good use of those things. Salt and pepper. And sautéed that up. Then I, when that was transparent, moved it to a bowl and reserved. Then I prepared the okra. You can cut the stem end off or leave the stem on if you like to bite it off later. Add a little bit more olive oil and bacon grease to the pan if you need it. And, of course, you need it because it's good. And sauté that. Salt and pepper to taste.
Quickly. give an idea of how long you had the okra in the pan. 3 minutes? 5 minutes?
3 minutes. Keep stirring.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay?
Easy does it.
And because I had them, I put in way at the end, not to make them mushy, but just to add some red, just to add a little bit of acid to the whole thing. The tomatillos did it too. Added a few cherry tomatoes just to make it pretty. Then take the leek and garlic mixture and the okra mixture and layer it with crumbled bacon. Layer it in a potluck dish. Take it to a potluck, and you take it to a potluck with Donna, and she'll eat half of it.
That's right. She set it down right in front of me on the table, and I went, oh, goody, okra with bacon.
I think we have our next winning recipe for Foodies and Brew next year, right?
That's
there.
That's it, right there. I just kind of made it up because 2 things. Maybe 3 things. Cook the okra fast, sauté it. That's important. Bacon, who doesn't like bacon? And adding a little bit of acid, as in the tomatilla, or
you know,
a little
that's
bit
the,
of
tomatilla. Another vegetable we need to talk about is tomatillas. They're coming right now.
Yeah. All of this is kind of optional. I just happen to have some tomatillas. Also, I want to mention on the Donalana Kitchen recipe page, there is a sweet and sour okra with olive oil recipe. Thanks to Peggy Earnshaw for that recipe. It's on our Donalana Kitchen recipe page. Go to khoifm.org and find Donalana and browse through stuff.
Did we put a tomatilla recipe on also?
No, we haven't done that yet.
Well, as tomatillas are coming into season, I have to tell you that one of my favorite things to do with them is they look like green tomatoes. You take the papery husk off. I just cut them in half, slightly olive oil, a baking sheet, and I roast them in the oven. And they can then be a salsa. Or served with a chicken dish or something. But just roasting the tomatillas is a delight.
It's a nice little taste.
And it's easy.
Yeah. Andrea, do you have any okra suggestions?
I would love to recommend fermenting okra pickles.
Oh, do tell.
Well, it's so easy. You take some thumb-sized okra.
Thumb size.
That's important when you're
people
fermenting.
Do have different size thumbs.
It doesn't matter which size. You can go
the in. The small ones.
Yes, the small. And some sea salt and water. Set it on the counter for 3 to 5 days or until you like the tang in the pickles.
Oh, so they're raw salt brined. Good idea.
Well, salt brined, the salt is just there for some flavor. It's really the natural bacteria that is converting there to make the pickle.
How much salt?
Well, I would go maybe a teaspoon and a half for a quart jar.
Okay.
And you can adjust that.
Yeah,
fermentation is such an art. It's not really a true, I mean, there's science happening, but you have to do it to your own taste. And I didn't add any, like, I would add dill to it because I love dill.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I would add garlic. I would actually add whatever I could find in my kitchen, or if I didn't get a run down to Wheatsfield, I'd run down to Wheatsfield and get some more stuff. But whatever you like to add in your pickles, you add to it.
And how long do they sit before they're ready?
3 to 5 days. And a lot of that
depends. That's not very long at all.
No.
But they have to be completely submersed in the water and salt, right?
If they pop up, you're going to have some mold issues. Mm-hmm. So definitely keep everything under. A good tip for that is going to be taking a jug of salt brine. So you can make some additional salt brine and put them in a plastic bag and sit that on top.
As a weight.
You can buy glass jar weights, but they're not quite. If they tip off to the side, you're done for.
And then
they end up on the bottom of the jar. It's so much better just to use
and then your whole thing is ruined.
Yeah. Maybe not the whole, but the ones that pop out definitely don't work out well there. So, and you can use that recipe for any pickles, not just okra.
Lots of good ways to eat okra, a lot of ways to eat pickles.
Oh, right. Didn't we have pickled carrot at Helen Gunderson's where she used that same salt water technique? Carrot sticks, because they're coming in fresh in the garden now, too.
And you can do this in small sort of experimental batches.
Yes.
Find out how to do this. It's real fun things to do in your kitchen. Ah, okra. It is time for okra and lots of good things in our kitchens. You're listening to KHOI. This is Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa. This is the Donalena Kitchen. We're back. That was a little mazurka. Everyone needs a little mazurka in their life every now and then. We're talking about okra and summer food and good things that will be happening on Main Street later this week. Some thoughts on summer food. I had a friend come up to me and say, oh, you'll never guess what I did. I bought groceries and I left them in the car. And it was a hot day. Was that good? Do I have to throw them all away?
If it's ice cream, that's not good.
Okay. The decision has been made for you.
And it's not a food safety issue. It just, you can't take it and then refreeze it in the you can. You'll have a different product, though.
She was specifically asking about eggs.
Oh.
Eggs
and
in a hot car.
And how long did she leave them?
Eggs in a hot car from noonish, early afternoon to the next morning. And I don't know if the car was in the sunshine or not, but I think it was in her garage. And it was a hot day.
I would probably eat it.
I would, too, because I always figure, well.
I mean, the eggs, the worst that
the chicken is nice and warm.
Well, I was going to say, the worst that would happen, I mean, you might want to crack them in a separate bowl, because if they happen to be fertile eggs, she was actually incubating them.
Right.
You know, I mean.
That's what I suggested.
If the chicken is sitting on the nest, it's the temperature. It's quite warm.
Mm-hmm. Eggs are amazing things. So
yes, they are.
Eggs are amazing.
It's okay not to refrigerate your eggs at all, especially if your egg source is local and they're fairly fresh. I mean, it's well known that eggs in a normal supermarket can be as much as 6 months old. And they're still
they have
okay.
been washed, too, correct? And taken off some of the protective shell or protective waxy coating on the outside of the shell to age them.
Like I, you know, everybody, you're not supposed to eat raw eggs anymore, but I do. If I know where those eggs have come from, the chicken behind, but, you know, where was the chicken living? That's of concern to me.
Under what conditions?
So good. So those hot cards with groceries in them, don't try to reuse the ice cream, folks. But
milk, I think milk is a little more difficult because it may or may not go bad, but it will certainly shorten its shelf life in your refrigerator. And, you know, you better give it the whiff test because it could curdle dairy products.
Things like yogurt?
Well, yogurt is cultured, so it has a longer shelf life. And same is true of cheese. Now, okay, so the rule of thumb in catering, and this is with cooked, prepared food, is once it reaches room temperature, you actually have a four-hour window before you must throw it out. Now, that means if it's hot, it takes a while for it to come to room temperature. If it's cold, like those products that she bought at the grocery store started out, some of them refrigerated. So took a while for the temperature to drop. You know, it depends on how hot the day was. You know, it's just be careful, but don't automatically throw it out.
No, that's why we have noses.
Right, but don't take that milk, for example, and pour it onto your cereal until you've tried a little bit.
So there.
Make rice with it. That's what my mom always did. The milk was kind of on that edge. She would make rice.
I put it in the dog food.
Very good. Very good. Always use it for something. Yes. Well, we have got some news here from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. That's a ticker tape. Tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. We tried to cover some food-related news and food and farming. It is of interest to all of us. Donna found some interesting things.
Well, there was an article on it's a website called Take Part, where they were actually discussing something that I think needs clarification. The headline was, "There's a difference between buying organic and not buying genetically modified organisms." So it says, starts with, "Even with the new GMO labeling law, shoppers will still need to be savvy to know what they're buying." And the distinction is, if it's, and this has always been true since you know, we've had the organic labeling law, which is, I don't know, probably almost 20 years old now. Not quite. But so if you get that USDA organic symbol on something, it cannot have been grown from a genetically modified seed. It cannot have ingredients that have GMOs in it, or it does not qualify. So an easy or obvious way to avoid GMOs, should that be a priority for you, is to, you know, buy things that are organically grown and processed. Now, there are other benefits besides avoiding GMOs, which is what they're talking about. Obviously, the pesticide residues are much smaller. The way that the soil has been treated for the plants and the animals to grow has also been it's healthier for the agricultural process in the fact that, you know, you're putting nutrients back in other than straight nitrogen, NKP, and things like that. So it's a more holistic system. And that's a whole, you know, that's aside from the GMOs. However, there are, you know, lots of people will say, well, it's local. That's a good thing, too. But that's separate from local is a distribution issue. Where did you buy it? Where did it come from? How many food miles? Da-da-da-da-da. That kind of thing. So to say local or organic is kind of apples and oranges. You know, one is an agricultural practice and the other is a distribution system, both of which are important. But what this article was talking about is, and did you know this, Lana? We now have genetically modified zucchini and genetically modified sweet corn on the market. It could be, you know, I have been asking all the sweet corn growers this year, is this a genetically modified corn? And I have to say, a lot of them don't know the answer. I mean, obviously the farmer that planted the seed probably knows, but, you know, the kids that are manning the farm stands don't necessarily know. So it is a question worth asking if it's an issue for you, which obviously it is for me. They did say in this article that, Monsanto announced plans to grow genetically modified sweet corn on 2,500 acres, roughly accounting for 40% of the sweet corn market. In 2013, Friends of the Earth released a first-of-its-kind study tracking the prevalence of GMO sweet corn and brought us some good news. According to their study, out of 71 samples of fresh, frozen, and canned corn tested around the United States, only two tested positive, and they were both the Monsanto Performance Series sweet corn. However, that's 3 years old, so it's probably more planted now. And then I would ask about the zucchini. Both the yellow summer squash and the zucchini, crookneck and straight neck, are now available in GMO varieties. But he says in the article, the amounts of those vegetables that are from genetically modified remain small, too.
So far.
But he says, still, I, for one, am shocked because, in part, zucchini and yellow summer squash are the linchpins of his summer cooking. So, ask questions, as always, if you want to know about your food.
So, there's always something to be a little on our toes about.
Yes, we have to be informed about every little thing, it seems.
Yeah, and there's something, the Bakken Pipeline is sort of showing up again. It's marching across.
Yes, and it's now nationally known as the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Oh, all right.
Same thing. If you hear either one of those, and it is starting to get national coverage, it's about time. It's not just that it's in our backyard.
No, that the pipeline has a big backyard. Last week, 12 people got arrested at the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. They're a little upset up there. They have issues about their water quality up there at our protest.
And so should we be thinking about it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, there were a dozen people arrested and about 200 protesters. And that's the pipeline that, yes, is going to go right through central Iowa. And people are still working on opposing that. And we will keep you informed. Things happen outside our kitchen windows all the time, and it affects us.
Yes, and speaking of, I have some more bummer news.
Oh,
all right.
Here we go.
This one's really okay. It's the title. This is from Morning Ag Clips. The title is Respiratory Wheeze in Farmers. Sounds okay. Wheeze is a mild word, right?
Yeah.
Okay. North Carolina State University study looks at farmer health. Okay, and it quizzed 22,134 farmers in North Carolina and Iowa. Yes, Iowa. Finally, they're looking at the effects of pesticides on farmers and farming communities, which would include Ames. I hope that you all know that because of the corn and soybean revolution in Iowa and the genetic modification of those plants and because they're tolerant to herbicides, we spray more and more and more and more and more herbicides, and we in this community are at the effect of that. It is around us. So finally, somebody is looking at what some of these herbicides do, like glyphosate, 2,4-D, and they're also used in garden chemicals as well. So the conclusion was that, yes, there is effect on respiratory health, both allergenic and non-allergenic, and they're talking about some of these, which I can't even pronounce, is, of course, the 2,4-D, the atrazine, and the glyphosate. So if you guys are experiencing wheezing, frequent colds, other nasal respiratory things and you think, oh, this is just ragweed. Of course it might be, but be aware. We are living here in Iowa in a sea of controversial chemicals.
Yeah, that's the it's referred to as farmer's wheeze. It sounds so cute.
Okay, but at least we're starting to get some studies done about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good. Another Donalana Kitchen news item. We're sliding into the kind of the bummer part of the program, but we need to know these things. There is a...
Oh, yeah, this one is very local, and I for one, am quite upset about this.
Well, there seems to be big piles of corn stover on fire. Kind of in
self-combusting.
Well, this is a lightning strike.
Oh,
but whatever,
okay.
Whatever hit those big piles of corn stover bale.
Right, not hay and not corn.
Not corn. It's the corn stalks.
Stalks.
That DuPont is stockpiling for energy production. That's fine and dandy.
Quite a lot all over Story County.
Yeah, the big piles, they kind of look like buildings in themselves.
Yeah, they're huge.
The trouble is when those get on fire, they're a dickens to put out, as anybody who's ever had a fire in a haymow will know. A quote from the Ames Tribune says that it's really, really hard to put out, and they're probably just going to let this stuff burn.
And it's been burning for 7 days, right? This is, A, not going to help our air quality. B, it is a hazard. But the worst, the thing that really upsets me, what does it say happened to the Ames Tribune when they were covering this story?
Get this, folks. The Ames Tribune went out to cover this story.
It's news. It's local. Uh-huh. Of course we need to know.
Went out to the corner of 570th Avenue and 190th Street. A photographer went out there, and there was a private security guard that stopped him. Okay. But then he kind of called around and asked permission, so he was let in behind the barricade. Then the security guard comes running after him and says, no, you cannot take pictures. This is a public road. Or the pictures that you have taken, you have to delete them. So there was a big to-do. And
This photographer was actually on public. He wasn't on the private property.
No.
He was just observing from a public road, mm-hmm. and he was told no.
Delete your stuff, and the Story County Sheriff's Office was involved, and there were calls to higher-ups, and it was determined that the photographer was illegally on taking pictures of the burning pile, and that was not good. So you will not find pictures, at least from this photographer, from this newspaper in there, but they had a nice article about it. Anyway, also they mentioned that this is not the first time one of these big piles have caught on fire.
Oh, no, there were some... This has been going on for a few years, but to try to control the public information, I mean, I thought we had freedom of the press here, especially if they're on a public roadway.
So let's keep our eyes to the air and see if we see any smoke, folks. That's the corn stover burning here, a little east
of
town.
And let's protect our local newspaper. We're lucky to have one.
Yes. So we have some upcoming stuff happening. Foodies and Brew is going to happen Friday, August 9th.
And we will be there.
Andrea, repeat the contact information for that, please.
AmesDowntown.org, or you can stop in at 304 Main Street.
Oh, yes. Celebrate local food and brew.
And if you just want to come down later on that evening, please stop down at the corner of Douglas and Main on Friday, August 19th.
6:30 p.m.
Good. Also, a little note here. The Central Iowa Barn Dance will be starting its new season Saturday, August 27th, and there's going to be a new start time. Start at 7:30 p.m. for all of us that want to get a good night's sleep afterwards. So come at 7:30. Go to CIBD.org for
calling?
That information. No, I'm not.
She does call. Lana's famous local dance caller.
Well, yes, but I'm not calling this time. So come Saturday, August 27th. Yes. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. You can hear us at noon, live at noon on Tuesdays, repeated at 7 p.m., khoifm.org. You can go there, khoifm.org. Support this fine radio station. We've been talking about Foodies and Brew and okra and other stuff, too. Music by a fine band from Brattleboro, Vermont, as a matter of fact.
Ho, ho, ho.
The band is called Nightingale. Yes, this is Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Eat good food and enjoy life.